Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight and hearing. Amen. So I've been working at Creve Hills for about a year, just past a year, but it's only a couple of months ago my family and I moved up here. We were living in Oakville. We were there for 17 years, and we now are living on the property at Creve Hills. We are still learning local history, learning about the history of Creve, of course, but also learning about our neighborhood. Things like settlers and farms. We're also learning about things like where to get a haircut, or if anybody has a physician to recommend who's taking patients, talk to me after. I was really happy to have the invitation to come and be with you this morning because it gave me an opportunity to learn more about my new neighbors. So I went sleuthing online, and I found your history. You know this is online, right? From 1837. You have a beautiful long history. Somebody's done some great work, and it really was interesting reading for me. So one of the things that I noticed in your history is there is an awful lot of losing and seeking and finding that is in that history. So let me give you a few examples. In 1840, this church was seeking money. The raising of funds was a difficult task in those days of physical hardship and scarcity of money. It says in, it's a sesquicentennial publication. Subscription lists indicate givings were sacrificial. Money was raised, here's an idea, by pew rent. Mm-hmm. Although additional collections were also needed. Skip ahead to 1869, and it wasn't money but elders that were needed. The session, finding their number too few, requested the congregation to elect more men to fill the office. Those elected were Messrs. Walter Cowan, Alexander McLean, Hugh McNaughton, and James McLean. I found a long, complicated story. This is quite a story. I'm quite sure was scandalous at the time. It involved Duff losing and another church finding. There was a sect known as the Brethren that became a factor in the religious life of Puslinch in 1875. The distinctive doctrine and religious practice of this sect appealed to a considerable number who had been before considered excellent members of Duff's church. And the session had the unpleasant duty of removing their names from the communion roll after they united with that brethren. But here's my favorite story of losing and finding out of your history. It's from the 1900s, early 1900s, and there was a church renovation in 1903. Anybody remember the church renovation of 1903? Yeah. Well, if you've ever lived through a reno, and at Creve Hills, of course, I have just done that, you will know that it brings with it often a little bit of chaos. Well, it seems that... Now, do you know about communion tokens?
Yes.
So communion tokens, it was a small metal disc or sometimes a little sort of piece of paper or a ticket, and they would be given to professing members in order to be admitted to the Lord's Supper when it was celebrated here in the congregation. For a time, it was about worthiness. Did you deserve to take the Lord's Supper? There were sometimes examinations by the minister or by elders. Were you worthy? And if you were worthy, you received your token. But by the time we got to the 1900s, it wasn't actually about worthiness, but it was still really important because you needed to bring your token and put it on the communion or on the collection plate, because if you were not present for communion for a year perhaps or two, you may well be removed from the congregation because you were not faithful enough. So in the early 1900s, this was an era of communion tokens, and they were going to renovate. So as you might imagine, they packed up all the important things and they packed up all the communion tokens. I imagine them, you know, there was probably a great box and they were collected and stacked and tucked away somewhere really, you know, in a cupboard so they wouldn't be lost. Yeah, it took 4 years to find them. And apparently, it was in 1907, they found them because Duff's church called the Reverend Samuel Lawrence, who was, this is how he's described, a Scotchman, a very strong and energetic preacher. We're reading between the lines here, I think. He was never afraid to uphold what he thought was right, nor denounce what was wrong. And I have this great vision of the panic among elders who had to confess that no, they couldn't find the communion tokens, and in fact, for several years, they had not been upholding such an important Presbyterian tradition. We do know it's important to do things decently and in order. I suspect there were some interesting session meetings about that time. There are a lot of stories of losing and finding here at Duff's. You could probably tell me some more stories about losing and finding. But of course, this morning among us, there is this famous story of losing and finding from the Gospel according to Luke. Now, in this story, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. They were the religiously correct of the day. They were the ones that were always in church on Sunday, and they didn't use four-letter words, and they were big financial supporters of the Stained Glass Fund. These were serious church people. The thing is that they got angry with Jesus. They got mad because he wasn't paying enough attention to them. He was paying attention to other people instead. He was paying attention to the people who didn't go to church on Sunday and who cursed a blue streak and who were not giving any money, never mind to the Stained Glass Fund. They weren't giving money to anybody. In their way of thinking, the Pharisees thought this was just wrong, that Jesus was paying so much attention to them. So Jesus tells a story or two, and he talks about things getting lost. But the story isn't actually about the sheep, the 99 sheep that are so famous. He's not talking about the 99 sheep who are doing everything perfectly, really good at following directions. The story isn't really about the gold coin that's so valuable and falls between the cracks. It's a parable about the shepherd who goes searching. And it's a story about the woman who tears her house apart looking. This is what Jesus is talking about, trying to tell religious people about the character of God, about what God does with God's time, about what God is really, really like. Now, I think our default position for God often is an old white guy in the sky, long beard, probably a long white beard, maybe presiding over streets of gold in heaven, occasionally maybe casting someone into hell or damnation. Maybe we think of God zapping people, maybe zapping people with good things, or maybe with not so good things. But the parable is telling us something important about God that is very different from that image. Apparently, God has things to do. God is busy. God is busy tearing apart the living room, looking under chairs, sweeping behind the television. God is taking off through the fields, taking off through the park, hollering the name of that one sheep who has wandered away. God is not sitting on a cloud basking in golden beams of heavenly light. God is working up a sweat, chasing what's been lost. Now, I find this particularly interesting because I think we can relate. We know what it is to lose things and find them again, of course, but we also know what it is to work up a sweat and to be frantic and busy. We have lists of things to do, right? Kids need to get to basketball, and there are hockey games and all kinds of things to do. But even in a religious sense, even in a spiritual sense, many of us can work ourselves into quite a lather. We obsess sometimes about the big questions, like why God allows injustice in the world. We pray for long lists of people who are sick. We go to church, we read the Bible, we do devotionals, we read books about faith, or we fret about the fact that we don't read the Bible and don't do devotionals and don't go to church enough. We worry that we're not faithful enough. We worry that we don't believe enough. We wring our hands, too, about the future of the church. We worry, even at an anniversary time, that our best days are behind us. But the thing is, if God is so busy looking for us, why are we feeling so frantic about looking for God? Why are we so worried that we will not be found? This is 182 years this congregation celebrates today. But more than a long history, you have a rich and full history here. You have a rich and full history of seeking and finding. Sometimes it was the church needing money or new elders or needing to find those lost communion tokens. But there was much more losing and finding going on among you. For generations, ministries here have created time and space for God to be at work in your midst, seeking and finding, forgiving, helping, healing, welcoming. This sanctuary has been a place, look around, this has been a place for profound spiritual moments when God was at work, when God met people in tears or in all kinds of joy in the jug. Countless times, how many times has the Lord's Supper been celebrated here, that God was present seeking and finding lost souls? And beyond the sanctuary, gosh, in the history here beyond the sanctuary, I found stories this week about Bible study and committee meetings, the WMS Christian Endeavor, that goes back a little while, mission bands, young people's societies, all of them have invited God to be at work, seeking and finding. People have prayed and comforted one another. There have been, I hear, lots of church suppers that open the doors wide for the community to come in and discover God's presence. There has been a wide open welcome here, and God has taken full advantage of that. Now, I know there is anxiety over church these days. Last night, fundraising for a congregation that struggles. I know. Every church I visit, I hear at least one person express anxiety over the future of their congregation. Every single one. And I go to lots of different churches these days. We all have to face a changing world. We're all facing declining numbers in every part of Canada. The reality is now that being a Christian is countercultural, and being a congregation is a strange and unusual thing to a lot of people. Most congregations don't know where they're headed. And those who are panicked, they struggle. But there are other congregations, too, that simply are tired of trying so hard just to keep going. Many of us know what it is to feel lost. We know that feeling. It might be a student who's not quite sure how to fit in on a new college campus. It might be recently divorced. Someone's trying to negotiate family holidays where they're no longer welcome. Maybe we just feel lost in our faith, convinced that, of course, God can't love us. God could love only other people, but not us. But it seems to me that if any of us feel lost, whether as a church or as a person of faith, if any of us feel afraid or dissatisfied or confused or alone, we would do well to remember that God is tearing apart the heavens. God is looking under sofa cushions. God is looking behind the shrubbery in the backyard. And if God is that busy looking for us, we can stop trying quite so hard to find God. If we are broken, if we are afraid, if we are anxious, God is searching for us. If we're worried that we don't measure up or that we don't count, God is busy trying to find us. And if we think that all is lost, the situation is too dire, that we cannot possibly be saved, Jesus wants us to know God is already on the way. It might not have sounded like good news to those Pharisees, the church guys who thought they had it all going on. But to any of us who are not quite as sure of ourselves, and for any community that finds itself even a teensy bit anxious, this is really good news. So this is a beautiful anniversary, and we have reason to celebrate 182 years on this stretch of the highway. Let us also celebrate God's merciful grace, that at this moment, God continues to break a sweat for us, that God continues to seek and find, that God continues to welcome and love right here in this community. Our God goes to great lengths to find those who are lost, including us, and that is very good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.